This series by UBS is presented by Automated Voices and may include adaptive narration.
Hi, I'm Anna from the UBS Chief Investment Office. It's Thursday, the 18th of June, and the time is 6:30 a.m. in New York. Equities are broadly weaker today, with Wall Street leading the decline at the latest close. The S&P 500 fell 1.2%, while the Nasdaq lost 1% at the latest check. In Europe, the Stoxx Europe 600 was down 0.2%, as Switzerland's SMI also slipped 10 basis points, while in Japan, the Nikkei 225 rose 1.6%. In foreign exchange, 1 euro buys 1.151 US dollars, while 1 US dollar buys 0.8 Swiss francs at current levels. Brent crude is down 1.8% at $78 a barrel, and gold is down 1.4% at $4,296 an ounce. And that's all for the market update. Now let's take a more detailed look at the latest developments.
Thanks, Anna. Let's start with what stood out most from this Fed meeting and the initial market reaction.
Hi, Daniel. The Federal Reserve kept the federal funds rate unchanged at 3.5 to 3.75% for a fourth consecutive meeting, which was widely expected. But the guidance and updated projections signaled a more vigilant posture on inflation risks. The consensus among policymakers also shifted in a more hawkish direction, with roughly half of officials anticipating at least one rate increase before year-end. The unanimous vote reinforces broad alignment within the committee around keeping policy restrictive for longer. Median rate projections for 2026, 2027, and 2028 were all revised higher, with several officials expecting multiple moves higher, and only a very limited number still projecting any easing over the next year. Markets reflected that hawkish shift, with the S&P 500 falling 1.2% to close at 7,420, two-year U.S. Treasury yields rising 13 basis points to 4.18%, the U.S. dollar index up 0.9%, and gold down 0.8% to $4,296 an ounce.
And beyond the rate decision itself, how did the Fed's communication change under the new chair?
Right, that's an important aspect. Well, forward guidance has clearly taken a back seat. The statement removed both the easing bias and forward guidance, which reinforces the idea that the committee is no longer trying to guide market expectations explicitly. The post-meeting statement was also significantly shorter and offered only a high-level assessment of economic conditions. It described activity as expanding at a solid pace alongside strong productivity and capital investment, while leaving out much of the detailed forward guidance that had characterized prior releases. References that had previously pointed to potential policy adjustments in either direction were also removed, which effectively eliminates any residual easing bias and sharpens the focus on price stability. More broadly, the restructuring of the statement, together with adjustments to balance sheet implementation and the introduction of multiple internal task forces, points to a deliberate effort to rethink the Fed's communication and policy toolkit.
Thanks. And what do you make of the dot plot after this meeting?
Good question. The dot plot was more hawkish, but its future as a policy tool is becoming less certain. Kevin Warsh did not submit rate projections, which is consistent with his earlier criticism of the dot plot framework, and another participant did not provide longer-term projections. That partial participation highlights growing skepticism toward the framework and raises questions about its role over time. At the same time, those changes in participation likely lowered the threshold for shifts in the median projections, which contributed to the more hawkish outcome. Even so, we still expect the policy rate to move lower over time, because softer growth conditions in the second half of this year and moderating price pressures should allow the U.S. central bank to make policy less restrictive.
Picking up on that, what did the updated macro projections tell us?
Well, they reinforced the Fed's cautious stance. Growth expectations for 2026 were revised modestly lower, which points to some softening ahead, while inflation projections were pushed higher. That partly reflects supply-side pressures, including energy-related dynamics tied to geopolitical developments. Both headline and core inflation measures are now widely expected to remain elevated, with overall inflation not returning to 2% until 2028 under these projections.
So, what does all of that mean for the policy outlook and for investors?
Absolutely. Well, the combination of a new chair regime, hawkish projections, and a wide dispersion of views implies a higher bar for near-term action in either direction. In our view, that points to an extended period of policy on hold, with more meaningful adjustments likely only once the task force process is complete and the committee has greater clarity on the economic outlook. If supply disruptions tied to the Middle East conflict begin to ease, some of the June meeting's hawkish tone could also fade. Slower growth trends and disinflation in the second half of the year should help support a pivot toward lower policy rates in 2027. As a result, current market conviction around rate hikes in 2026 appears somewhat aggressive in our view, and we continue to recommend exposure to short to medium-term duration quality bonds.
Great, thanks, Anna. Now let's turn to what else caught our attention today. More details have emerged on the interim US-Iran deal. US President Donald Trump on Wednesday signed a memorandum of understanding to end the war with Iran and reopen the Strait of Hormuz 2 days earlier than previously scheduled. According to a Bloomberg report citing a US official, the agreement was signed digitally on Sunday by Vice President J.D. Vance and Iranian Parliament Speaker Mohammad Bagher Ghalibaf. The official also said Iranian President Masoud Pezeshkian signed the memorandum on Wednesday. According to the version read to reporters by a senior US official on Wednesday, the strait was to be rapidly reopened, with immediate sanctions waivers for Iranian oil. Talks on nuclear issues and potential further financial gains for Iran will follow. At the time of writing on Thursday, Brent crude was down 2.2% at $77.8 a barrel, and S&P 500 futures were up 0.9% on the day. Our view is that the signing of the agreement reduces the risk of a last-minute collapse in negotiations, but how quickly sea mines in the strait can be removed and traffic can normalize remains to be seen. Whether hostilities between Israel and Hezbollah could come to an end is also unclear. Lebanese state media reported fresh Israeli airstrikes and artillery fire in several southern towns throughout Wednesday. We expect geopolitical flare-ups to remain a source of market volatility in the near term, but we also think the backdrop of resilient economic growth, strong earnings, and AI demand should continue to drive global stocks higher. Investors should retain a well-diversified portfolio to position for long-term gains while managing near-term risks. Another development we are watching is the Bank of England, which looks on course to keep interest rates unchanged at 3.75% on Thursday after the UK's headline inflation in May came in below market expectations. Data released on Wednesday showed the annual inflation rate remained at 2.8% last month, which is the lowest level since March 2025. Core inflation edged up to 2.6% year over year, but still came in below market expectations of 2.7%. Core goods inflation eased, while core services price pressures accelerated. The British pound weakened against the US dollar on Wednesday, while gilt yields fell as investors slightly trimmed their expectations for a rate increase later this year. Our view is that while a potential shift in the Monetary Policy Committee vote split could reflect a more hawkish bias than at the last meeting, we continue to expect the BOE to keep rates on hold through the rest of 2026. Even before the US-Iran deal emerged late last week, Governor Andrew Bailey said the BOE had time to wait and was in a different position from the European Central Bank. With yields in the UK likely to stay elevated in the second half, we expect limited downside for sterling in the near term and see opportunities to be long the GBP. And that's it for today, and we look forward to bringing you the latest House View update tomorrow.
This material has been prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS Switzerland AG, regulated by FINMA in Switzerland, its subsidiaries or affiliates, collectively referred to as UBS. The investment views have been prepared in accordance with legal requirements designed to promote the independence of investment research. This material is for your information only and is not intended as an offer or a solicitation of an offer to buy or sell any investment or other specific product. The analysis contained herein does not constitute a personal investment recommendation or take into account the particular investment objectives, investment strategies, financial situation, and needs of any specific recipient. This material may not be reproduced or copy circulated without prior authority of UBS. Please visit www.ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer to read the full legal disclaimer applicable to this material.